Hello, Metro Augusta. Hello, Georgia, and hello wherever you are. This is Janice Allen Jackson welcoming you to the April 24th edition of Local Matters, a show designed to make you a more confident voter and a more engaged citizen. As always, today's show is brought to you as a service of my consulting firm, and that is Janice Allen Jackson and Associates, where we provide services to local government and nonprofit organizations. If you haven't already, please follow the Local Matters Podcast of Georgia on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you follow and subscribe, you get notifications when we post new episodes and when there is other information that may be important on your journey to becoming a more engaged citizen. On today's show, we have three of the four candidates who would like to be Richmond County Sheriff. Those are Richard Dixon, Bo Johnson, and Geno Rock Brantley. Before we get to those candidates, however, I would love to tell you about the forum, candidate forum that we had last week at A.R. Johnson. We had all of the offices on the ballot for commission seats, District 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. We had a great turnout. If you want to listen to that, please go to the Local Matters Facebook page because I shared the video there. You'll be able to watch the entire thing and you can get a feel for who these candidates are and how they would represent you if you were to vote for them. Also, I want to let you know that on this upcoming Saturday, April 27th at 12:30 p.m. at the A.R. Johnson Magnet School Lecture Hall, we will have a second candidate forum that will feature these candidates for sheriff, candidates for district attorney, superior court judge, state house district 129, and we will also have a discussion with the mayor, as well as with former Commissioner Ben Hassan, about the pros and cons associated with a vote to give the mayor a vote on all issues before the Augusta Commission. So please, if you're available, come on out. Even if you can't stay the entire time, it will be good for you to be there, even for the portion of the discussion that you can enjoy. Local Matters family, today we are joined by Richard Dixon. He is running a non-traditional candidacy for the office of Richmond County Sheriff, and he's going to be here today to explain how that process works, as well as give you some insight into his thinking about this office. How are you doing today, Richard?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me, Janice.
Thank you for joining us. First question, I want to get clear with everybody. Your name will not appear on the ballot in May. You are seeking signatures to get your name on the ballot in November. Can you describe a little bit more about what that means and how that all works?
Sure, Janice. I've decided to run as an independent this year. I have never really been affiliated or associated with any of the parties. I vote for the candidacy. So I had to be honest with myself from the get-go, and so I decided to run as an independent. It is the first time in Richmond County ever that anyone has attempted to do this. I'm the first person who has ever even gotten this far, and by statutory law, an independent candidate must obtain 5% of the registered voters in Richmond County. I have to obtain their signatures just to be placed on the ballot for November. I will not be on the primary ballot because there is no other independent running, mainly because there is so much work involved in obtaining the signatures. And that's how that process works. So we've been working very hard since January the 11th to obtain the signatures. We are well over half the way there now, and we're going to work hard to obtain more than the required 6,700. And we have until July the 9th to obtain these.
Okay. And if one wants to sign that, how can one go about doing that?
We are currently, I've got volunteers. We are working areas around Richmond County. I have petitions sitting right now at the Hidden Peach on Peach Orchard Road, which is doing very well. I've got them at the Accurate Pools on Peach Orchard, Villa Europa on Dean's Bridge, Trophy Center on Gordon Highway. And we go through the flea market about every weekend, and we're hitting other events. Other than that, If people will just reach out to me, they can go to my website at richarddixonforsheriff.org or on Facebook at Richard Dixon for Sheriff. And my cell phone number is on there. They're more than welcome to reach out, and I will have one of my volunteers meet them, or I will meet them personally to sign the petition.
And do they have to be in-person signatures or can they be electronic signatures?
Unfortunately, they have to be in person. We have to have their signature, their printed name, and by law, we have to have their address, and of course, Richmond County, and then the date that they signed, because there is a we have 180 days to get them. They will not accept any electronic signatures.
All right. Thanks for explaining how that works and why you have gone that route. As we get into the questions that I have for you today, first I want to address the unique nature of our sheriff's office. We're one of few sheriff's offices in the state, and maybe the only, I'm not sure, where the sheriff is responsible for both the jail and road patrol. Typically, it's the jail. What practices would you implement as sheriff to safely reduce overcrowding within our jail?
Right, and you're correct. The sheriff's office is a constitutional office, and by constitution, they're responsible for the courts and the jail. Richmond County is a little different. They handle the road patrol as well. And there are several others that do that, but Richmond County being one of the largest sheriff's offices. The overcrowding in the jail, I think it's the culmination of several years of the COVID had a lot to do with that, and because the court shut down and it just exacerbated the problem. I would like to come into office and work with the courts, work with the district attorney's office to try to speed up the hearings and the adjudications on the people that are in the jail to help eliminate some of that overcrowding. I believe, and if we could work on a release program for the nonviolent offenders, the misdemeanor offenses, and try to help decrease the population to get it down to a manageable size. And of course, the commission has already decided on allocating funds for a new pod. That doesn't help with the numbers, but it would definitely help with the overcrowding. Instead of having four people in one cell, now you could then split them up into the two people per cell like you need. So again, just working with the courts. I'd even considered approaching the judges and the DA's office about doing something different in Richmond County that's never been done, and that's holding either video adjudication or even night court to help get these cases moved through.
All right, thank you. Next, I want to shift gears into mental health, but also still dealing with the jail issues. I have been told that mental health evaluators from Augusta University struggle to enter the jail after their 9-to-5 jobs to conduct mental evaluations that are backlogged. How will you facilitate mental health professionals' access to incarcerated people in need of their services?
Yeah, I believe if people would look at the statistics, a lot of the people that are in jail do suffer from a mental health issue that needs to be addressed by the professionals. I believe opening up, first of all, the lines of communication, and I do believe that's been an issue for years, is a lack of communication with our local leaders, civic leaders, and surrounding CSRA. So let's open up this line of communication with the medical professionals. They are the ones who must come in and do the work. So what I would look at was first to get with the professionals and see if there's any way we could maybe change their schedule, maybe come in a little earlier, maybe stay over a little later, and we could facilitate that between them and us at the jail. I would also want to even look at the space in the jail. I believe that there's probably somewhere in there we could possibly set up a substation, if you will, and give access to the professionals and give them their own office right there in the jails. And maybe they could do some work out of that also. That could probably help out tremendously.
Thank you. Last, as you think about your public life, what do you consider to be your greatest accomplishment?
And it's interesting that you asked for public, because I think everybody would like to talk about their private accomplishments, because we probably take more pride in those. But publicly, for 20 years, I was the Police Academy Director here for the CSRA and the Athens area. I covered 37 counties. So I was sort of limited in my public work that I was doing. But back in 2008, Everyone will remember the budgetary crisis that hit everyone. They were going to close down the academy here in the CSRA, which would have affected our ability to have deputies put through the academy. So I sat down with the two sheriffs of this area then. Back then it was Sheriff Ronnie Strength and Sheriff Clay Whittle, who's still in office. And we sat down with GPSDC, who I work for GPSDC. And I volunteered at that time that I would manage the academies here in Richmond County and in Athens, Georgia, at the same time, which was the first time that had ever occurred in the state of Georgia where an academy director directed both two academies. So what that allowed us to do was to work with the Sheriff Clay, Sheriff Whittle, and with Sheriff Strength at the time, is we ran the academy through the Columbia County facility and the Richmond County facility, and each person would take a turn. So what that did was allow us to keep an academy presence in the CSRA, thus saving the taxpayers money from having to send officers to other counties, and they'd have to pay per diem, they'd have to pay lodging, and then of course the deputies would be away from their families for 11 weeks. So I managed to facilitate that with the help of the two sheriffs at the time and the Georgia Public Safety Training Center to keep a presence in the CSRA to help eliminate those extra tax revenue and the burden that it placed on the deputies having to travel.
Thank you for that. One more question and we'll let you go. If our registered
Okay.
voters in Richmond County want to learn more about you, where do they go to do that?
Sure. And I do encourage everyone to register to vote. We discussed that this morning. This is a very important election coming up for the office of sheriff. So you can go to Richard Dixon for Sheriff. It's spelled out, richarddixonforsheriff.org. That will take you to the website and you can learn a lot about me there. But I also encourage you to go to Richard Dixon for Sheriff on Facebook. I post daily. I have been on Facebook for almost over 15 years. I post regularly. I didn't just start Facebook for the election. And as most people know about me, I'm pretty candid and I'm pretty open with my comments on there. And but they can learn a lot about me. And you know what, Janice, I would even tell you that if you wish to, my cell phone number is on there. Call me and ask me anything you wish and learn more about me that way.
All right. Thank you so much for joining Local Matters. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate it, Janice. Thank you very much.
The second candidate we have for Richmond County Sheriff with us today is Bo Johnson. How are you doing today, Bo?
I'm doing fine, Ms. Jackson.
That is great. Thank you so much for joining the Local Matters family. We've got a few questions for you, and we'll jump right in. First, as you are well aware, in the state of Georgia, it's a little rare to have a sheriff's office that handles the jail as well as road patrol in the community. What practices would you implement as sheriff to safely reduce overcrowding within the jail?
Well, as we all know, there's a lot of issues going on with the jail, and one of the main issues is the fact that it does have a lot of overcrowding. A lot of people say, well, we need to go ahead and release everyone that's nonviolent, let them bond out, set them a court date, and let them come back and let's deal with them at a later date, especially if they're nonviolent. I feel like the majority of the inmates that we have now in the detention center, most of them are felons, and most of them are have committed violent crimes, and I don't know if that's necessarily always the answer to it, but it is part of it that we could use. If we've got people in there that are nonviolent, we can go ahead and work with the DA and work with the solicitor and work with the judges, and hopefully get these people on out so we don't have the overcrowding issue with them. One of the other things we need to work on is for the future overcrowding is the recidivism issue and the fact that we've got so many repeat offenders. I think we need to implement some programs while these detainees are there, and one of those is giving them the if they have addiction issues, making sure we've got health workers there to help them with those issues if they're asking for help, and then help them transition out of the detention center into a halfway home, where they continue to receive help, and hopefully once they're out on their own, they're productive, and hopefully they won't be returning back. Studies have shown that if you give this type of help, They're less likely to reoffend. Therefore, if they're not coming back in, it's a huge savings to the taxpayer.
All right. Thank you for that. And I think that's a good segue into my next question, which relates to mental health evaluations. I understand that the evaluators from Augusta University struggle to enter the jail after their 9-to-5 jobs to conduct the mental evaluations that are backlogged. How would you facilitate mental health professionals' access to incarcerated people in need of their services?
Well, I think here in Augusta, you know, we've got some of the finest mental health workers in the nation. We really need their help. We need their assistance in evaluating these people that we have there. I think one of the issues that's preventing them from getting in now is probably the fact that, you know, it's just we don't have the manpower in the jail. You know, these people, when they come in, you know, they have to, depending on who they're working with, they need to have personnel there with them to keep them safe. I've spoke with some health workers that have come in and said that there were times when they just didn't feel safe, and because there wasn't a jailer there or a deputy there to be able to kind of overwatch just to make sure things went smoothly. I think what we're going to have to do, and what I'm looking at, is hopefully putting someone on full time, you know, as a full time employee with the sheriff's department that is a mental health worker that can work basically around the clock with these people that have these issues. You know, we understand that that probably a third of the people we have incarcerated right now are there due to mental health issues. So not everyone needs to be locked up at the detention center. They need outside help, and we have those outside resources. We just need the evaluation so that we can look at their situation and hopefully have them removed from the detention center into another facility where they can get the help and the treatment that they truly need.
All right. Thank you for that. Next question. If you think about your public life and your career, please let us know what you consider to be your greatest accomplishment.
Well, so, you know, I've got 33 years of law enforcement experience, you know, both at the local, state, and federal level. I'm proud of my time here at Richmond County. You know, I had a lot of accolades, a lot of awards, a lot of achievements while here. But after 9/11 happened, and our country was in turmoil and such a bad situation, I was hired by the United States Federal Air Marshal Service and under Homeland Security. I feel like that truly is my biggest accomplishment that I'm most proud of. I think the fact that I was willing to give up my career here and have an opportunity to serve my country, to help citizens of the United States confidence back in our airline industry. You know, because for a while, you know, we were at a complete standstill. You know, had it not been for the Homeland Security and the Federal Air Marshal Service, you know, we had people all over the world that couldn't even make it back home. Everything was, you know, commerce had stopped, you know, travel had stopped. And I think along with myself and, you know, a lot of the other Federal Air Marshals within the service, I think we're proud of the fact that we were able to stand back up the airline industry and get it moving again and get our country moving again in the right direction.
All right, great. Thank you for that. We always ask candidates if our registered voters, our listeners in Local Matters Land want to learn more about you, where can they go to do that?
So they can go to Bo Johnson for Sheriff on my Facebook page. There's a lot of information there. You can see the outreach that I do, the community outreach, the type work I do. You can see that I've been extremely busy since the day I announced. I don't think any of my other opposition has done nearly as much as I have, but I'm pretty proud of that. You can also go to info for Bo Johnson, info.bojohnsonforsheriff.com, and you can find my bio there. You can also donate there if you'd like. It's also located on my Facebook page as well.
Okay. Thank you for that. And we've got just another minute or so left. Is there anything else you want the registered voters in Richmond County to know about you?
I want everyone to know that I'm a people person. You know, I love people. I love working with people. I think the fact that I traveled all around the world, I traveled nearly 6,380,000 miles within my 20-year career at the Federal Air Marshal Service. This afforded me an opportunity to work with other cultures around the world, I've worked with other law enforcement agencies around the world and foreign governments. I think the fact that I saw the importance of being able to communicate and to be able to work through problems, you know, for a common goal was extremely important. I think that's something that I will be extremely good here at, as far as working with others, you know, working with our county commissioners, working with our district attorney, working with, you know, anyone that is willing to work with me. I think that's really what I'm all about. I love people. I'm all about boots on the ground. And, you know, people have referred to a lot of this situation as a huge mess, but it's like any mess. You know, you just got to put your boots on. You got to get at it and make it and get to work. I think I'm really good at networking. I've got a lot of people on standby ready to come in and help at no cost to the taxpayer. You know, there's a lot of resources out there for us. You just have to reach out sometimes and let people know you need a little help. And I think that's important as a leader. When you get to the point where you're not willing to ask for help, I think there's a problem there.
All right. Thank you so much for joining the Local Matters family today.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson.
Local Matters family, the last candidate for the Office of Sheriff that is joining us today is Gino Brantley. You've seen those signs for Gino Rock out there. How you doing today, Gino?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here.
Thanks so much for joining me. We'll jump right into the questions. We are in a rare position here in the Augusta area where the sheriff's office not only has responsibility for the jail, but also has responsibility for road patrol. Can you tell me what practices you would implement as sheriff to safely reduce overcrowding within our jail?
Yeah, so let's go back to the way the judicial system is set up and how this works. So for generations, policing and incarcerations have been the way we've kind of dealt with people who commit crimes in our society. And now we see that that's not the most effective way to kind of deter people from reoffending and, you know, kind of doing the same thing. So with that being said, we need to form what's looked at and called a comprehensive intervention and prevention program to kind of target the youth and those that are committing some of these acts of violence and that are making our jails be overcrowded. And so what that entails is getting the stakeholders in the community, some of the businesses, along with some of the community leaders to join and help form some of these intervention programs that would help decrease crime and help prevent crimes from happening in the area. I know if you look at other cities like Atlanta, they have what's called like midnight basketball, and it's targeted at those ages from 18 to 25. And what that does is it gives them another outlet. Instead of being out on the street or running the street, they have them in a gym, so they're accounted for. And you can kind of keep up with them. And if you keep up with the stats, it's proving to reduce crimes in that area. So I would love to sit down with some of the recreation directors, the board of, you know, whoever runs the recreation department, and some of the community leaders, and get together and kind of form something where our kids can go to late night. I think most of the recreation centers pretty much close about the same time. And so they have a lot of idle time to where they're just, you know, out in the streets and doing different things. And also there needs to be some form of mentoring program that has an impact on our youth. The youth of today are a bit different from how we raised up going to Cub Scout and Boy Scout and things of that nature. So we need to find more innovative ways to get the youth involved and kind of pull them away from the streets and out of that life that, you know, that leads them to criminal activity.
Next question related to mental health. We know that evaluators from Augusta University struggle to enter the jail after their 9-to-5 jobs to conduct the mental evaluations that are backlogged. How will you facilitate mental health professionals' access to incarcerated people in need of their services?
Well, I know Vital Corps, I think, has the contract at the Finnessy Roads Jail as far as seeing the mental patients and getting them the help they need and doing those evaluations. However, I know at 5 o'clock, they leave. And so they basically come and go like the sheriff who said he has a 9-to-5 job. And you contact him after hours, I mean, you're not going to get him either. So I think we need to figure out a way to have staffing around the clock that goes beyond 5 p.m. I was also made aware that even after the patients have been seen and have these evaluations done, then they have to go to Serenity or somewhere to get help. But once they're deemed suitable to stand trial or they come back before the judge, then they're sent back to the jail. And then it creates a backlog. I worked at the courthouse for about 5 years. So I'm familiar with, you know, when you come before the judge and the judge asks you, have you had an opportunity to go over your case with your attorney? Do you understand what's going on as far as your trial and your case? And have you been adequately, serviced as far as with an attorney? And so once we get to that step, I think we need to build partnerships within the community, within the judicial system, and with Serenity to make sure we are more effective in getting these guys seen and getting them in and out of our jail. Because we have about 20 to 25% of the population in the jail are probably mental health or have mental health problems. And, you know, when you're looking at a facility of about 1,200 beds, that's about 300 people.
Yes. Thank you for that. And as you think about your public life, your public service, please let us know what you consider to be your greatest accomplishments.
Well, I think just getting up, just, you know, when the Lord gives me the ability to get up and the opportunity to go out and affect people's lives in a positive manner. I think every day that I get out and I'm able to do that is such a joy and a blessing. But back in 2015, in March of 2015, I was working in the courthouse and there was a young lady who went into the ladies' restroom and I was standing outside in the hallway. And a minute later, she runs out and she says, hey, my daughter or my child is not breathing. And so then we had to spring into action, call 911, go in and administer CPR. And we were able to, you know, get the child back breathing. And I guess that would probably be one of the more memorable experiences that I've had to kind of help save a life. And such a young life at that, I think the child may have been 1 or 2 years old.
Wow, it's tiny, a baby. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. If you would, please let our registered voters know where they can go to learn more about you.
So you can go to genoforsheriff.com and you can click on the link and it will give you a rundown of my experiences, where I've worked at, and some of the things that I plan to do once I'm elected as sheriff that will help mend our city and get the city going, moving forward.
Thank you. And if there's, we just have another minute or so, is there anything that you would like the registered voters to know about you that I haven't asked already?
Well, I would just say that I'm committed to fixing and changing the culture of our sheriff's office fixing the morale issues, having a totally transparent sheriff's office, and being actively involved in our community, because the community is what gives policing its legitimacy. And if there's no bond between the sheriff's office and the community, then we're not going to be able to fix the crimes and the things that plague our community. There must be trust and there must be some communication.
All right. Thank you so much for joining the Local Matters family today.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for having me.
Please join Local Matters next week when we will have candidates for the District Attorney of the Augusta Judicial Circuit. I close with my favorite Bible verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This show is designed to contribute to each of those, giving you the power that comes with knowledge, demonstrating love for your local community, and offering you wisdom for decision making so that you possess a sound mind when it comes to these topics. Please tune in next Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. or Thursday at 7 p.m. here on 103.7 FM or 1600 AM. Or please go to SoundCloud, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts at any time, because local matters.